אנחנו קוראים מספר כתבי בעל הסולם.
We are reading from Shamati.
עמוד 599, מאמר צדיק רב. מאמר מהו פסולת גורן ויקב.
We are on page 230 of the English Shamati, on article 97, titled Waste of Barn and Winery. You may download this text on kab.tv as well as ask questions. Chosen relevant questions will be asked live during the lesson. So once again, English Shamati, page 230, article 97, title Waste of Barn and Winery.
We learn, all in all, something very simple. We're in a will to receive. In this will to receive, a new desire awakens. And by the environment, we can increase this new desire, that it will drift us, it will bring us to its own place. By the group, by the books, by that we're able to increase this new desire, and this previous desire will decrease or maybe increase, and above it will ascend. So basically, we have a struggle here between two desires. A desire for oneself, for this world, and a desire which is for bestowal, for the upper world, to the Creator. And we need to increase the desire for the Creator, to bestow. And we need to do that on top of the opposite desire, which is to receive in this world. And that is our entire work, our freedom of choice, everything is there. And Kabbalists say, so what is this choice, this freedom of choice? It's the choice of the importance. What do I want to be of higher importance? Either my desire aimed upwards, above, even if I have a small desire, or a desire for here, for this world, below. And there is a plan that if I increase the desire, my desire for above, by the group, by the study, as it says, everything that you can do, you should do. If I increase my desire for above, then my desire for below is increased as well. So every time I'll have to overcome and overcome again, that is called help against him. Now there, the Pharaoh in me, the evil within me, we'll do the different things. And so the work in Sukkot, the holiday of Sukkot, it's explained to us in all these actions, in all these actions of Sukkot, it's explained how can we increase this small desire called waste, that it's considered as nothing, that between us it's considered as waste, bestowal, others, friends, connection. You know, these things, fine, they exist, but no one sees any importance in it. It can be said about it, yes, it's very good, well, yes, and all that, but it only shows how we don't really consider it as anything. So how to raise the importance of this waste, what we see as waste, in comparison to what is important, me, this world, and all that, how to raise that waste above. That is the matter of the building of the sukkah. And that is what Baal HaSulam wants to explain to us. So again, it's talking about this same selection that we have to constantly select above. By the group, surrounding light, if we're constantly aimed for above, with importance of bestowal, we need to raise it, as it says, to raise divinity from exile. That it seems as waste, it has no importance, and it needs to be, we need to raise it above everything.
Slight change, we are on article 96 on page 226, title, What is Waste of Barn and Winery in the Work? A barn is male dinim, judgments, as in hidden and not defiled. When he feels that he is in a state of goren, barn, meaning ger, stranger, in the work. A winery is female dinim, as in hidden and defiled, Yekev, winery, is considered Nekev, foramen. And there are two kinds of Sukkot. One, the clouds of glory, and two, waste of barn and winery. A cloud is considered concealment, when one feels the concealment over the Kedusha, the sanctity. If a person overcomes the cloud, meaning the concealment that one feels, one is thus awarded clouds of glory. This is called Man de Ima, and it applies during the 6,000 years. It is considered a secret that still has not become a nature called literal. And the waste of barn and winery are called literal and nature, which is considered Man de Malchut, erected specifically through faith, called an awakening from below. And Man de Ima is considered an awakening from above, which is not discerned as nature. This means that with respect to nature, when one is not ready to receive the abundance, he does not receive any bestowal. However, from the perspective of the awakening from above, which is above nature, the light is indeed poured onto the lower ones by way of I am the Lord that dwelleth with them in the midst of their uncleanness. As it is written in the Holy Zohar, even though he has sinned, it is as if he did not sin at all. However, with an awakening from below, the light is not dispensed. Rather, precisely when one is qualified by nature, meaning by himself, this is called Man de Nukva, which he can correct through faith. This is called by himself, considered the seventh millennium, called and one is ruined, meaning that she has nothing of her own, considered Malchut. When this is corrected, one is awarded the tenth millennium, which is Gal. Such a soul is found in one of ten generations. However, there is the discernment of the seventh millennium from the perspective of the 6,000 years, called particular, as the general and the particular are always equal. But this is considered Man de Ima, called clouds of glory. And the purpose of the work is in the literal and the natural, since in this work he no longer has room to fall lower down, since he is already placed on the ground. This is so because he does not need greatness, because for him it is always like a new thing. This means that he always works as though he had just begun working now, and he works in the form of acceptance of the burden of the kingdom of heaven above reason. The basis upon which he built the order of the work was in the lowest manner, and all of it was above reason. Only one who is a real fool can be so low as to proceed without any basis on which to establish one's faith, literally with no support. Additionally, he accepts this work with great joy, as though he had real knowledge and vision on which to establish the certainty of faith. And to that exact measure of above reason, to that very measure, as though he had reason. Hence, if he persists in this path, he can never fall. Rather, he can always be in gladness by believing that he is serving a great king. This is the meaning of the verse, "The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at the dusk," according to the meal offering of the morning and according to the drink offering thereof. This means that the gladness that he had while he was sacrificing his sacrifice, when it was morning for him, as morning is called light, meaning that the light of the Torah was shining for him in utter clarity. In that same gladness, he was making his sacrifice, meaning his work, even though for him it was like evening. This means that even though he did not have any clarity in the Torah and the work, he still did everything gladly, since he worked above reason. Hence, he could not measure from which state the Creator derives more contentment. This is the meaning of Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya preaching a kind of matter. Matter means without reason and knowledge. An ear that heard on Mount Sinai will not steal. This means not receiving anything for it oneself, but assuming the burden of the kingdom of heaven without any gadlut, greatness, or adulthood, but entirely above reason. And he went and stole some illumination for himself, meaning he said, "Now I can be a servant of the Lord because I already have reason and knowledge in the work, and I understand that it is worthwhile to be the Creator's servant. And now, I no longer need faith above reason." He tells us about that, and he was sold to the court. Court refers to man's reason and knowledge, which judge a person's actions, whether or not they are worth doing. Sold means that he has become a stranger in the work of God, that the mind comes and asks him the known question, "What mean you by this service?" And it only comes from the angle of stealing, having received some support to the discernment of faith. Hence, he comes and wants to cancel the support with his questions. But this is only for 6, meaning he was sold for 6 years, considered male dinim. But if the servant shall plainly say, "I love my master, I will not go out free," meaning he does not want to go out free without mitzvot, then the correction is, his master shall bring him, meaning the Lord, to the door or unto the doorpost, meaning give him blockage over the reception of the kingdom of heaven. And his master shall bore his ear, meaning his ear is pierced. This means that another hole is made in him, so he will be able to hear once more what he had heard on Mount Sinai, "Thou shalt not steal," and he shall serve him forever. This is because he has truly become a servant of the Creator. Sukkot is temporary residence. This means that one who has already been awarded permanent residence and has nothing more to do, as with the matter of the first to count the iniquities, the counsel is to leave for temporary residence, as when he was on his way to the house of God, before he arrived at the permanent residence. At that time, he constantly needed to reach God's palace, and he had guests when his work was in the form of a passing visitor. And now, he can extend from the past work, when he was always thankful and praising the Creator, by always bringing him closer, and from which he had gladness. And now, on Sukkot, he can extend the gladness he had then. And this is the meaning of temporary residence. This is why they said, leave the permanent residency and dwell in temporary residency. The study is not the most important, but the act. This means that an act is like a substance. Rabbi Shimon ben Menasiah was preaching a kind of matter, that the act is the most important, and the mind is but a kind of mirror. However, the act is considered living, and the mind is considered speaking. The thing is that if there is wholeness in the act, then the act is so great that it brings with it the mind of the Torah. And the mind of the Torah is called speaking.
This entire article is about how to increase faith, bestowal, upon reception. What seems to us as waste, dinim d'chora, dinim d'nukva, how can we rise above that, even while we feel perfection? That you're in this permanent residency, then you should go to this temporary residency. Meaning a person has to make an effort to never be relaxed. Because most certainly we don't know what Gemara Tikkun is until all the souls will be corrected, all the Man D'Nukva will be realized. Sorry, Man D'Ima. So it turns out that the entire matter of Sukkot is, well, after we've clarified that we're in the will to receive, in Slichot, in asking for forgiveness, and after we've separated ourselves from the previous year, want to rise on to the next year, to the new change, to be ahead to the change, then after we examine and realize we're not capable of doing anything on the Day of Atonement, then we attract the great lights which scrutinize, right? And now we have four stages. And on the fifth day after the Day of Atonement, after Yom Kippur, it turns, it's Sukkot. It's always that way. It's Yom Kippur is on the 10th of the month and Sukkot is on the 15th of the month. And then we reach a decision. So what do we need to do in our vessels? And our vessel is only how to awaken the importance. Meaning not to take care of our desires to receive. Look what this holiday symbolizes. Not to take care of our desires to receive, but to increase our desires to bestow. Don't cling on to waste, as it is waste, but when you take it and it seems to you as unimportant and you raise its important, meaning bestowal, raise its importance, don't engage in your vessels of reception, leave the permanent residency. You must exit, you must build yourself a new building, that in this new building, the greatest thing, the most important thing, what is in the house? It's the ceiling. So that will be only in bestowal. Only to what extent you can suit yourself to the surrounding light, which is above the schach, that it will shine to you to the extent you're able to receive it. And that's the entire matter of Sukkot. Well, as he explains it to us there, even if you think that you're righteous, that you're certain, or you suddenly awakened that you didn't hear, you want to hear, then again, your ear is pierced, as it's called, that you're brought a new will to receive, which connects to Binah, to the ears, and then he begins to hear even more, and to work even more, and then he enters the permanent work that will not be freed from. Yes?
From Haifa, there is a question. It is written that if one is dedicated, he will always be in happiness. How can we be dedicated in faith above reason to be as within reason?
We need to learn from our vessels, from our own vessels, from our will to receive, and we just need to invert it to a will to bestow. In my will to receive, I want many, many, many fulfillments of different types. I want to connect to myself all the desires in the entire world, and I want to fulfill them as my own. The whole world is mine, all the stars are mine, all the gold, all the money, the silver, water, fuel. I want everything. So we should study the same. Learn from that, sorry. How I can connect to myself the desires of bestowal, the intention of bestowal. So we have examples for that. We constantly work on the will to receive. We have where we can grow to. So what's he asking?
He's asking, how can we be dedicated to this, the faith above reason shall be as in within reason?
Meaning, in my will to receive, I'm constantly thinking how to better my state. Even when I go to sleep, I want to fulfill my desire now. I eat, I take a walk, I listen, I hear, I do 1,001 different things, and I scrutinize what is the most important, and then I fulfill that. Likewise, in the will to bestow, I can reach a state that I'll constantly search how I can bestow even more, and in which way. And that is the only thing we should crave for. It's possible. Just make the switch. Change the importance. And that depends on the light. If I attract it upon myself, it gives me the importance, and then I can do it, no problem. So to work in order to bestow is easier than to work in order to receive. Because let's say you're working in order to receive neutrally. Let's say you're an alien, you're coming from the outside, from looking at people in this world, looking on the planet Earth. They've been given to work above nature, above the universe, above all the upper worlds, only to be connected with the upper force, with the Creator. Or to be here for 70 years, suffering and connected to all this garbage. What would you prefer? Just thinking clearly, what would you prefer? Obviously, perfection. But what? We can't get rid of this. But the decision is clear to which direction I should tend, towards spirituality. So my problem is to constantly put myself in a neutral matter and to attract the light that reforms. Well, that's the group again. You have no problem other than that.
Yosef from Jerusalem is asking, why is there an obligation in Sukkot to be in happiness?
Happiness is symbolizes that I change my vessels, that I consider the waste of binary and wine, that I rise above my ego, that I prefer to be in temporary state, in constant advancement, without my vessels which I fulfill, but I raise the other's vessels, the vessels of bestowal. And the sign of being in this state is happiness. Happiness is like a signature. That is what I want. It's impossible that I'm bestowing and weeping. It's not called bestowal.
Validation.
More? Yes.
Tomorrow is the evening of Sukkot, the beginning of the holiday. And whoever is sitting in the sukkah, he sees all the schach, the covering above, and all the decorations inside. What can be maybe the best intention to connect with the internality?
Well, we're still going to talk about the structure of the sukkah. You can learn about it. It's different measurements. It has to be a certain size, less than this, more than that. It has to have a certain height, a certain width. How the schach has to be. The different signs of the structure of the soul. We're going to learn that. And we'll see according to the sefirot. That's one thing. The other thing is decorating the sukkah. That I beautify it. That same vessel of bestow, well, that's a sukkah. Sukkah is a vessel to bestow, like the Noah's Ark and other such things, like the temple, like the Ohel Moed. Vessels of bestowal, basically. So I decorate them. I want them to be as important to me. These are different signs in our world. By the way, these signs are very important. The Rabash, he used to decorate his sukkah to such an extent that once he received a prize about the most decorated sukkah. Once I came on Sukkot, in the first Sukkot, that I was already a student from February till that holiday of Sukkot, and I go into the sukkah, and then I see him going from here, from there, thinking, walking around his sukkah, in his house, I mean, his sukkah at house. Besides, we had the sukkah we had in the backyard for everyone in the study. And he was walking around from corner to corner, thinking, suddenly he looks at something and says, and he runs, sorry. He runs from the apartment outside. So I ran after him. What happened? He didn't say anything until he caught his little grandson. Well, not that little. He was 16, 17. Where's the elephant? He said, I thought it's like in Noah's Ark when he had this like a little toy that he had all the different animals and he had the elephant also as part of this game, but it wasn't the same height, it was a bit bigger. So he said, no, this is redundant. And he said, put it immediately back to its place. And then later on when I brought him new friends, so each one was a carpenter, one worked with glass and another with something else, so each one also added decorations. What I want to say is he was very concerned about the decoration of it. We used to walk around in the park, we used to cut the palm trees for the thatch, for the schach, and we took the leaves and he was very concerned about that. It's obviously something external. Of course, everyone can do it. But if a person does it to connect to the importance, also that is good. But decorations and or there's a custom to sleep in the sukkah, to eat in the sukkah, to do everything in the sukkah as much as possible. All of these things which symbolize increasing bestowal above reception. That's all in all. But it's not really a symbol. We understand that all of our customs, all of these external laws, they're derived from spiritual inner laws. The size of the sukkah, time, space, existence of reality, everything that's in the upper world, clothed in our world, it gives us these results. Like our body, like the earth, all of that has been done as a replica from above, from the upper substance, from the upper forces, which have stabilized matter in this world in such relations that there is still vegetative animate and different relations between them. This lives in this, this and this and that. All of this is a complete replica of the upper forces. And this is what belongs to reality. But what is for correction of reality is lacking in our world. Therefore, these commandments, these mitzvot, they're irrational. Why do I have to build this sukkah? Why do I have to do Passover? And all these other things. They're all irrational. What do you get out of that? Because they all come from our corrections. From doing actions from below to above. The actions are replicated from Ein Sof, Ak, Atzilut, Briya, Yetzira, and this world, from above to below. That's how all the forces descended and stabilized our world as it is in matter. But what we want to do, as human beings who want to come closer to the Creator, then we do these actions in practice as symbols. Not that they are the primary part, of course. By our hands, we do no actions regarding the soul, nothing. But when you do that, then you're seemingly giving it importance. But again, with the intention, just like we spoke about in the Zohar. If I read Zohar without the intention, it could be like the potion of death. Oh, I've read it now, I'm righteous, I deserve the next world. And that pushes me even further away from correction. Same it can be with the sukkah or anything else. But to make an effort to clarify on each and every action what its spiritual status is, and to adhere to that. And the action should only be a basis to the correction of the intention. Just like when we read, it doesn't matter what language it's in and how much I understand what it's talking about there in this whole story. It's not important at all. The yearning to catch on to this concealed light, that is what I need. So it can be done also in these actions. If I do the action, I need to construct the intention upon that. Just like known in Passover that, and in Sukkot, that they were very they really kept all these symbols. Rabash wouldn't drink, wouldn't eat without a sukkah. We used to go to the park. If we knew in advance that there's a sukkah there, I took a bottle, a cup, and there he drank there, in the sukkah. Just like that. Usually in Sukkot, we used to go to the Diplomat Hotel, I don't know what it's called today, in Tel Aviv. That's where there was a sukkah. We used to go there to the sauna. The sweat room. It was separate men and women. It was completely separated, the two different areas, the men and women, and we used to go there. So again, I want to tell you, we think that Kabbalists do it just like other people, but it's a huge difference. Just like reading, we can read the Zohar and the study of Ten Sefirot and other things, and you want to know the text, what's written there. What is connected to what? The Kabbalist, or he who wants to be a Kabbalist, thinks of the intention. Where is the light that will open it up for me? If my eyes won't open up, then I won't see it. I have to open it up in my vessels and not in the eyes of my ass, of my beast. These are subtle things that we need to explain to ourselves and to the nation, that we don't treat these customs with disregard. But as it's written, the Creator does not care how you slaughter the beast. But the mitzvot were given to join the creatures. That's what's important here. Yes?
You spoke at first about the importance, and I'm searching for this importance in the process here from the group, from the study, and so on. Here I understand that Sukkot is like for a person who's been privileged with a permanent residency, and he's exiting to a temporary residency. Is a permanent residency when, yes, you have the importance already permanently, and you're exiting that?
You can put it this way or that way. Either permanent residency is that you're still in your will to receive, that's your permanent residency, and you're willing to exit it and to constantly be in changes and to constantly be in a temporary state until you reach perfection, until you reach a state that you have Shmini Atzeret and Simchat Torah, two holidays on the last day of Sukkot. And here he says, in addition, after you've been rewarded with permanent residency, you have to always add to that for temporary residency. Yes?
But there is like a state in which that's it. You have the importance and it becomes above all, and the attribute of bestowal is on the head of everything for you, or you're always rising and falling?
1,000 times the righteous will fall and rise. So if you want to be righteous, that's the way it is. Fall and rise. But why is it bad? Why? Because it's bad. Well, until you don't feel the benefit from it, and until you don't feel the benefit, then you think not them and not their rewards. These detachments, these descents, right? You can see half the people are asleep, are in this blurriness, unable to hold on, looking at you like barely, and so on. That's true. And next time, that's switched around. It's a rotation. And these changes, we need to awaken them that they will change at the speed of light, actually. And then we'll go through the corrections quickly. Because it's impossible that on a certain change, a descent or an ascent, it will be given up on. It all depends on the soul. There, everything is already divided. Its height that determines how you're connected to others, in which way you need to correct, how many times you have to go through what and in which different forms. It does not depend on us. On us, it only depends to go through these things as quickly as possible, the frequency, but not the number of actions. Therefore, the more you cling to the group, just like we spoke about it yesterday, that in the vicious sea, you have to tie yourself to the boat, and then you won't fall. But that has to be done in advance, not after you've already fallen off. That's the arvut, the mutual guarantee. Yes?
Well, could you explain a bit about the meaning, the spiritual meaning that we have about the four kinds? There seems to be a lot of precision here about how to sell them, the structure of the etrog and such.
The truth is, all of these are sellinesses, all. They're also all from the Torah. But the question is, to what extent do we have to be precise with our intentions? So the common people who are very distant from the intentions for correction of the soul, they do it in their external actions, in their body. And then for them, etrog is etrog, lulav is lulav. When we engage in the intentions, then we take it, we accept it as a halakha, as a law, and that's it. The four species, the four minim, they symbolize, well, look, how should I put it? Everything we go through is done by correction of the Zer Anpin, which has Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet. We spoke about this yesterday, I think. And then the Malchut, which receives it, which is the three lines. Here are the three lines, the Gimel Kavim. and the Malchut receives from them. That's it. So this is actually the coupling that we have to make happen. So therefore we have the Lulav and the Hadassim and the Aravot and the Etrog. What does that symbolize? Zeranpin itself, Chagat, Chesed Gvura Tiferet, Netzach and Hod, and Yesod. Yesod here below, and Malchut. This is the Etrog. This is the Yesod. That's it. So these are all the symbols. And if you take it either in the Sukkah or on Passover or any holiday, each holiday is a connection, a special connection, which is always Chesed Gvura Tiferet and Malchut. Three lines, the Gimel Kavim, that from them comes the light and fulfills the Malchut. And there's no more than that. The coupling between the Creator and the souls and the Shekhinah, Divinity, Malchut. Yes.
In all these external actions, performance of the external mitzvot, is it worthy for us to make some small corruption to entirely disconnect from this external action, which is like seemingly incorrect?
From doing the external mitzvah?
Yes, I don't know, maybe to do something purposely like wrong, to disconnect ourselves from the thought.
We see that we're detached from it. Most of the nation is detached from the corporeal mitzvot commandments, and you can ask, why has the Providence made it that way? It's been done so in order to awaken the nation to the internality and then to externality. And I'm certain that we won't leave our customs, but we will approach them correctly. That we'll still keep these customs, and we'll call it customs, not commandments, not mitzvot. And the mitzvot are our intentions in order to bestow. That by that we correct ourselves, our heart, our soul. And in order to ease the way, and there are other things as well that we'll talk about at once, then of course this correction has been done, that we've exited the external actions, part of the nation. And we do need to come closer to it, but we first have to do it through the light, through the inner correction. And then we receive all the external actions as a custom, a replica from a spirituality in our world. And then we accept them without exaggerating and without all these different small subtlenesses, possibly. But we'll see them correctly from the intention, and you adhere to the intention and you do the action. And then that external action only shows you that you want to express in any way possible the corrected manner of the existence of reality. And in such a way, of course, all of our actions in this world, those of course which are suited to the spiritual actions, there is a place for them. We don't say that we're against religion or against doing these corporeal mitzvot, which we call customs, in order not to be confused, because the real mitzvot is the 613 desires in order to bestow. So just to simply give its own place for the 613 corporeal mitzvot and 613 spiritual mitzvot. And what does the Creator really want from us? Of course, the correction of the soul. And the nation has exited the religion in order to return to these actions, possibly in the future. But already out of a desire to be connected in such a way to spirituality, while already being in connection and corrections. Therefore, if people think about us that we bring people to repentance regularly, no. And if it's been said about us that we don't want to keep these things, we do. Yes.
Miguel from Mexico is asking, are all the groups in outside Israel supposed to keep these traditions as well? And Tomo from Jerusalem is saying that should the Kabbalah homes in Israel build such sukkahs also? What do you advise about that?
I recommend to do these symbols still, of course, in the Kabbalah Lam centers in Israel. I don't think it should be done in our Kabbalah centers overseas, in Latin America, South America, Russia, and other places, for various reasons. Because it can awaken external results. That we don't want to attract their attention to us. But in Israel, we want to do it because we want to do what is customed in the nation, first of all. And therefore, these symbols, just like we do it at home, we should do it also in the Kabbalah centers. What to do in them? That really depends on the group, what people are used to. We don't decide anything, we don't want to decide forcefully, God forbid. But it's good to do these symbols. It's good to have a meal with the children. Women are freed from the commandment of the sukkah, they can eat it inside. But still, if you can join as many people as possible to it, then it's the time of joy. We recommend that. But not as he says. Who's that from overseas? Miguel from Mexico? Yeah, I know him. So, I don't think that's good. First of all, it will awaken hatred and questions, undesired questions. And secondly, all of these customs, it's, all it is customs after all. So, first of all, let's reach the state that we keep these things internally. We'll exit our permanent residency in our will to receive. We'll reach our temporary residency in the will to bestow. We'll keep this process of the 7 days of Sukkot. That's our entire life until the end of correction, actually. Almost. There's still a little left other than that in order to receive, in order to bestow. But these are gigantic corrections in Sukkot, that you receive the entire Bina, its entire form. It's like Noah's Ark. Malchut connected to Bina and receiving from it all of the light, all of the corrections. So let's first keep that inside of us, in our internality. And in externality, I don't recommend to do that overseas. It's better that way. Only in Israel. Yes.
On page Tafresh, he writes here, one can always be in happiness in this, that he believes that he is of use to a great king. Many times we see that some friend of ours loses this faith. Yes, he doesn't see the great king, and even more so maybe in different groups on the outside. How do we help a friend exit this, or a group, to return to this happiness and connection and unity?
There are many possibilities. For me, what always helped was is to go through things, which I do go through. To be very precise with my daily schedule. I have to answer questions in my blog, that takes 2 hours a day. I have to have TV programs which are being shooted in the afternoon and evening. I have to have 1 hour for a walk. I have to do Zohar, Bensi is pressurizing me, and I have to do other articles, people coming in with questions. I'm under constant pressure, and I can't get rid of this pressure. I can't say that, you know, unless I'm sick I can't speak, but I won't give up on this. And if I didn't do these the summaries of Rabash's article and many of these things, this pressure, this strictness helps. I feel obligated, I can't escape it. And that's how it constantly was. Rabash passed away, I sat down and started writing books. A few years passed by, I wrote a few books. It helped me go through these things quickly and properly and well. And I always saw ahead of me, what will I do tomorrow? But I decide and I don't move from it. I have a weekly schedule, that's for sure, and even a few weeks in advance. And in this schedule, everything is written. My wife gets angry. It says, my wife's birthday. So I won't forget that. Meaning, it's a must do that, really. And that helps. Well, we'll sing.
Before we sing, we have a number of announcements. An open lecture with Rav Leitman is every Tuesday at 7 p.m. in Kabbalah Home in Petah Tikva. It's an open lecture. Everyone is invited. We invite you to take part in circulating the Kabbalah Home newspapers for the holidays. It's in celebration of these holidays and the new year, so we'll have a sweet year. To take part in this, call 1-700-509-209. We have the great World Kabbalah Convention on Sunday, the 26th of September. Oh, that's the first Unity Day in honor of that event. Here's a short clip. Towards the World Unity Convention in November, it's very important how to prepare ourselves as best as possible. So here's the recipe for a successful event. 4 stages. First step, you begin with the best possible ingredients in the world. The World Unity Day on 26th of September. We continue on to the next stage, and we cook everything overnight in the Leil Hoshana Rabbah, which is the 28th of September. Third stage, we mix the everything in the preparation event, which is on the 12th of October. Finally, we add the spices and everything on the final Unity Day before the event, the 31st of October. And then, taste and see. So, on the 26th of September, yes, we're beginning with the first preparation. Everyone is coming to the Kabbalah homes around the world at 7:30 p.m. in Israel time for the Worldwide Unity Day with an open lectures of Rav Leitman, an open studio. Please take part with us. We'll end here. Have a great day. Hatfi
חברים